Good evening, Tampa
Love
Bay.
Talk Radio.
Good evening, Tampa Bay. This is the Keith and Kimberly Show, broadcasting live from downtown Tampa here. I have with me here my lovely wife, Kimberly. And we want to be talking about the topic tonight of prayer. Earlier today, we was having a conversation with a few people on Facebook about prayer and about the articles of prayer. And we just thought it would be interesting to get in and have a discussion about this over our radio show. So we're going to open up the line. The call-in line is, you can call in at 347-989-0220 for the guest call-in. Keep trying. If the line comes up, just keep trying until you get on. We want to hear from everybody that we can. If you're a pastor, preacher, or teacher of the word, we definitely want to get some information from you about this particular topic dealing with prayer, be it corporate or personal prayer. One of the scriptures that we want to take for a basis today in dealing with our prayer is, I want to draw from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. And before we read that scripture, I want to say a quick prayer before we get started so that God can consecrate this particular broadcast. Father God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for opportunity to pray. We just thank you for opportunity to share with the globe and with the world, the ministries of Worldwide International Church. And we thank you now for this show and this opportunity to reach the public and reach people with your teaching. Bless us right now and help us to edify the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think we got a call on line right quick. Let's take this call and let's just hear from the call. Who do we have online? Go ahead, caller. Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Bishop. God bless you, my brother. This is Pastor Harrison, brother. God bless you from Los Angeles, the preacher from Los Angeles. How are you doing, Bishop?
Hey, my brother. I'm blessed, man. Myself and my wife, glad to have you as a part of the show tonight to be able to help us expound a little bit on the topic of prayer.
And, yes, sir.
We wanted to read the scripture right quick. This is just a base scripture. We're not going to stay stuck here. We're going to try to cover as much as we can. But the scripture we was about to read is the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, and I'm reading the NIV version. It says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. So that's a great base scripture to use, Brother Harrison. Now, before we go forward, since you're one of our first guests that's on the line right now, I just want to ask you a quick question right quick about prayer. In your opinion, give me just a quick, your quick understanding of what prayer is first. You set it up for us tonight.
Well, you know, Bishop, there are two types of prayer. There's the intercessor prayer. Then there's the personal prayer, which is called the prayer of faith. Intercessor prayer is a prayer where you don't ask God for anything for yourself. This is where you go to God and you pray on the behalf of others. Amen? Then you have the personal prayer called the faith, where you pray for yourself. Amen? And so there are two distinct prayer. Amen? And the intercessor prayer is that corporate prayer, Bishop, where the church gather together. Amen? And you pray for the community and you pray for the national leaders, and you pray for the local leaders, and you pray for the move of God in your church, and you pray for the sinners, and you pray for the homeless. That's the intercessor prayer, Bishop, and that's what's missing in the church today. You know, Bishop, I pastored for 22 years, and I've been going to different churches in Tampa, and Bishop, nobody has intercessor prayer no more. Where is the intercessor prayer?
Amen. Amen. And one of the things that we find in Brother Harrison is that intercessory prayer, what I'm finding about intercessory prayer, it has been given over to a certain group of people. Like a church may have a particular intercessory team that prays, but in my opinion, I really believe that the whole church should be intercessors. We all should be interceding for whatever the needs or the concerns is, not only for our particular church, but the things of God. We should be interceding for one another and other church leaders and stuff like that. So hold on the line, Brother Harrison. I got another call. I'm going to get in on this call. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, call them. Do I have somebody else on the line? You there, Brother Harrison?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Bishop.
Yeah. So as we, like you was mentioning, an intercession, which has become a big thing for churches now. They use it a lot of time as another name to create another ministry, which is really not a particular ministry at all. It's just what we are supposed to do as believers for one another and the things
mm-hmm.
of God. When we
yes, sir.
So I see intercessory prayer teams, people join a particular team. Some people of different titles may be called as intercessors. But I think that principle of intercessory prayer, I believe that's where you was going, should be broad-based. It should be everybody in the church should be talking
yes,
about
sir.
Intercessory
it should be.
Pray for
it is not limited.
The church is trying to deal with.
Right. And, Bishop, it's not limited to a chosen few. Amen. I believe that every believer should be an intercessor. Amen. And the local church should set aside a specific time and day where the members and the flock and the congregants come together and we cry out to God. And that's what God is saying here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, Bishop. He's saying that we
Amen.
Need to seek him face. Amen.
Amen. So let me ask you this, Brother Harrison. Let me ask you this question here.
Yes, sir.
If we had a particular church, for example, and you were going to teach as the pastor the foundation for prayer, you had new disciples that you were discipling, and one of the doctrines that you were going to teach them was the doctrine of prayer, the principles of prayer. Where would you start at with new people who a lot of people say, I don't know how to pray. I don't understand how we should go. I don't know what to ask for. I hear some people
mm-hmm.
say, well, I don't pray for myself, which I know is
right.
an immature statement, because you should always pray for yourself. The Bible doesn't tell you you shouldn't pray for yourself. But where would you start as a leader and as a pastor to teach people how to pray and about prayer?
Right. Well, you know, Bishop, prayer is very simple. And you, as you know, prayer is speaking with God. But as far as praying for myself, amen, you know, I have a 6 or 7 step that I use in my personal prayer life, Bishop. Number one, if I'm praying for myself, I need to decide what is it that I need or I want from God. Would that be okay, Bishop? That's the first
yeah.
thing I need to decide, what I need or what I want from God. And then number two, my second principle is, first of all, I must have scripture to support what I need from God. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And the purpose of that, Sister Kimberly, is to, when I now go to God, once I decide what I want, what I need, or what I desire from God, now I have the promises from God's word that I can go to God in prayer, and I can declare, God, your word said so-and-so. So that's principle number two. And then personal prayer principle number three is, amen, I now begin to ask God for what I want, what I desire. And, you know, he said he'll give us the desires of our heart. So I begin to ask him in prayer, believing that what I ask him in prayer, that he will grant me what I ask.
Amen.
So those
amen.
Are the first three principles that I use when I have my personal time of prayer.
Amen. Let me ask you this other question. Then we're going to take another caller who's calling in here. I got another
yes,
question
sir.
For you, Pastor Harrison.
Yes, Bishop.
When we go into prayer and you teach
uh-huh.
this prayer, if you had, what would you tell a person about how often we should pray or how they can schedule out or become build a positive prayer life to where they can pray as often as possible. How would you go about telling them how often we should pray?
How often you should pray?
Yes.
Bishop, after being a pastor for 23 years, for me, I believe a believer should pray every day. Now, we don't always pray every day, but our duty is we should pray every day. Because when we pray every day, Bishop, what we're doing is that we're showing God that we are dependent on him and we are relying on him. I don't know if you can recall what David said, right? David said, there's a verse in the Psalm, David said, morning and noon and evening will I pray and direct my thoughts unto him. Now, we saw also what in the book of Daniel, when they wanted to stop Daniel from praying, you and I know what Daniel did. Daniel did exactly what he was accustomed to doing, Bishop. He went to the window, and the Bible said he set his face toward Jerusalem, and he prayed every single day. I believe, Bishop, if we want to see God's power manifested in our life, I call prayer the breakfast of champion. If you are a man of prayer, daily man of prayer, woman of prayer, Bishop, you are a breakfast, you're a prayer breakfast champion. So the bottom line is we need to pray daily.
Amen. Amen. And I agree with that. Wife, did you want to comment on that?
I think that prayer is a connection point between you and the Father. I also think that praying without ceasing is the best advice that I've been given in my Christian walk, because we are constantly going in prayer, connecting to the Father. It's like a communication line, one might say, for me and my prayer life with the Father. I constantly go to him because I feel it's a strengthening point before I can do anything else or move in any other direction. It's a way of seeking him for answers and knowledge and wisdom, and that comes through that prayer, that connection line with the Father.
Yes,
yes. Amen.
Amen. I totally agree with you, Sister First Lady Kimberly. Absolutely agree. Amen. I mean, prayer is like the breath we breathe. I mean, we need the air to survive. Amen. And I believe the same thing with prayer, Bishop, is that our prayer should be as though we're breathing. We depend on the air we breathe. It's the same way with prayer. We depend on God. Bishop, I know you're very familiar, coming back to intercessor prayer or corporate prayer. You remember when Abraham prayed for Sodom?
Amen.
First of all, Abraham asked God, if there's 50, would you save Sodom? And then he went, Bishop, you know the story, right?
Yes, sir.
He went from God, if you find 50 people, amen. And then he went to 45, amen. Amen, wouldn't you call that, Bishop, intercessor prayer?
Of course. That's exactly what he did.
Amen.
That intercessory prayer from one person brought results that saved lives. They changed and saved lives. And not only that, but they changed the mind of God about Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right.
They changed the mind.
Amen.
Of God. Amen, Brother Harrison. I believe I got our prophet on the line. Right.
All right. I'll stay on the line, Bishop.
Just stay on the line with us. We won't interrupt.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Washington, are you on the line?
Yes, good afternoon, Bishop.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Good afternoon, Bishop, and First Lady Kimberly.
Good afternoon.
Bless you, my sister.
Bless you.
I definitely wanted to get you in because you and I started this dialogue a little earlier about talking about prayer. I asked a question about prayer. How people who we are discipling how to pray. But I want to ask you this question, since Brother Harrison already covered that for him. Tell me about the necessity of prayer and some of the things that we should pray for as believers. Tell me about the necessity of prayer and some of the things that we should in this time, which you have the prophetic eye, and being a leader in the church and leading the community, what are some of the things that you believe the church, the ladies and everybody should be praying for in this season right here?
Well, in this season, Bishop, and that's a real good question, because I believe God is calling us all back to intercessory prayer individually and corporately. And I believe in this season, we need to be in the presence of God like never before. I believe that the more that we're in the presence of God, the more that we excel, the more that we can move forward. And I also believe that some of the things that we need to pray for in leadership and as a body, as a corporate prayer, is we need to pray for unity. We need to begin to pray for unity, because more and more I'm seeing, y'all have to excuse me, I was just running. More and more I've seen division in the body. And the more we're divided, the more the enemy takes ground in our ministries and our families. We also need to pray for our black men, because I believe we need to pray for men as a whole to take lead and to take their position in the kingdom and in the house. But I think we need to be really praying, you know, an extra prayer for our young black men between the ages of 18 and 40, because I believe the enemy has launched an attack against our young black men. And so I, God began to deal with me about 2 months ago about this thing, unity. We need to, you know, God is trying to get us to a place where we leave and lay aside denominations. See, denominations are divisions. And so as long as I'm over here and I do it this way, and as long as I'm over here and I do it this way, we never come together and get the kingdom work done. And that's what Satan is really doing. He's really sending division and discord into the body of Christ. But, you know, a lot of times we don't look at it that way. You know, if he can keep us fighting over titles, if he can keep us fighting over who church is the biggest, if he can keep us fighting over little things and things that have nothing to do with the kingdom, he knows that, you know, he can stop us, because the Bible even says a kingdom divided cannot stand.
So let me ask you this. How then could us praying, or praying a particular way, if you had to explain it to me, how then does our prayer reach and change the heart of God to make a difference in some of the things that you're saying?
The Bible even speaks. It says, you know, the Bible even tells us, it says, if we humble ourselves and pray, that God will heal our land. You know, I'm just paraphrasing. So God is telling us the secret. He's telling us, you know, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, he's telling us what to do. You know, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways and pray, then I'll hear from heaven, then I will heal your land. So God is letting us know, once we begin to pray, you know, as a people, once we begin to do what God says do, we will see a change. We will see deliverance. We will see uniting, because it's all in the healing. He's going to heal the land. He's not just going to heal your family. He's not just going to heal your ministry. He's going to heal the land.
Amen. And then, as you know, as we move forward, I'm going to get Brother Harrison back in here, because I want him to give me a response about this real quick, too. Brother Harrison, you still on that, baby?
Yes, sir, my brother. I'm right here, Bishop.
Okay, this is my brother Harrison here. And we're just so thankful to have y'all on, where we can have this dialogue about these spiritual truths and these principles that we talk about all the time. And this is
truth
every believer says that they use. However, I believe it has been rendered in, for the most part, in most people's lives and in most churches' lives, I believe that this principle has been rendered ineffective because we don't use it well, or we don't understand it well, or we don't know how to negotiate our prayer life so that God can indeed hear from us and hear from heaven and heal the land. So we have to find out why prayers are not going through, why prayers are not being answered, why we're not getting an immediate response from God, why the Holy Spirit is not moving on the side of our prayers as believers, so that we can actually see change, a move here on the earth. Comment on that for your quick, Brother Harrison.
You, you know, Bishop, and you and I know, and I'm sure the other listeners know, that prayer moved the hands of God. If we want to see God's hand moved upon the city of Tampa, Bishop, the church must be a prayerful church. And what I've seen, Bishop, you know, I'm not a negative person, but what I've seen from many churches, the church is prayerless. Bishop, one of the first things we should be doing when we gather together corporately, we should be praying for God to save the souls of men and women, boys and girls here in the city of Tampa, Bishop. Corporately, we should be, you know, every Wednesday when my wife and I and a few people meet together for corporate prayer, Bishop, we are crying out to God, God, we want you to save Tampa, those who have rejected you. You know, and it is through prayer, Bishop, that God is going to answer our prayer. See, we cannot just sit back and think that God is going to answer, God is going to give us what we want. If we want to see souls change, Bishop, if we want to see men and women come to Jesus Christ, the church must take the position of prayer and begin to pray for souls. Listen to what David said. He said, ask of me, and I will give you the hidden for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. Bishop, that's the key.
Amen. Amen. Let me hear this comment from my wife right now.
I also believe before you could go amongst us corporately, we must remember that we ourselves must build ourselves up on a daily level. That's why in the book of Acts, it speaks of speaking in unknown tongues. You're edifying yourself. You're building up your spirit, man. When you pray in tongues, you are praying in your righteous state because that prayer is coming from your spirit, which is righteous toward God. And we begin to build up our own individual prayer life, speaking and building ourselves up, not only in tongues, but in the everyday language to God, coming to him, then we'll be able to come together corporately and begin to send out prayers that could be activated, because the Bible said we got to come boldly and fervently to him in our prayers. So you can imagine that someone is built up their spirit, not only their spirit, man, their prayer language with the Lord, and he knows them because he hears them on a daily, and now we're all together corporately and we're praying out. Can you imagine the boiling pot, one may say, that will be activated in a room? And you can imagine how many prayers will be sent up and activated, and the anointing is flowing from so many people that are built up themselves before they come together in unity. I believe that we all must learn individually to build ourselves up and begin to speak as the book of Acts says, and building up ourselves in our spirit, which is righteous, a righteous prayer. When you're praying out in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. You're advancing the throne. So that is a righteous prayer because it's coming from the Spirit, which God has identified as righteous once you were saved. That's one of the things that I believe will add to a corporate prayer.
Amen. Prophet Washington, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Amen. Give me a minute or so about what Brother Harrison said as far as the church is coming together in praying, and how we may be able to facilitate. I know you're a prayer warrior. Tell me what you think about that idea, and if it can be done, and can we move towards it? Give me about a minute real quick as you close your remarks on that.
I mean, he hit it right on the head. I mean, and I'm saying, you know, the same things that he mentioned and the same things he said. But I believe that it is God's will and it is the heart of God for us to come together corporately and pray. I believe that we should have, we need to start back first putting prayer back in the house first. Once we put corporate prayer back in the home, then we can it can spread abroad to the ministry. And once we put corporate prayer back in the body, we can spread corporate prayer through America. And then it spreads like that. But it starts, you know, just like revival. Revival starts in us. Revival starts in us and it spreads abroad. So prayer also, it begins individually. And once that prayer begins to manifest individually, we can pray corporately in the home. And then we can get stronger in the home, and then we can help each other in the body. And then once we get strong enough in the body, we can help and bring in the harvest.
Amen, amen, amen. What a great comment, what a great comment, amen. I'm praying and I'm hoping that us as leaders, we as leaders here in the city of Tampa have so much potential to grow also in churches and mega ministries and para ministries but our prayer life is not. And I believe sometimes, I believe some of the leaders are scared to get together and hold hands and pray for change and ask God to move in and affect their city the way it's supposed to be. We're not going to be able to facilitate powerful revival, powerful church growth, financial gain until we come together corporately and ask God for resolution and resolve so that we can change the face of this city spiritually and bring the people back to God.
Amen.
What you say about that one?
I believe so. I believe that it all starts with us coming together and standing in force against the enemy in the city, because us staying divided is giving the enemy access to go out and devour those that are not saved. Us not coming together to put our minds together and the gifting that God has given us to go out amongst men to save them has not been in transaction to this date, because if the enemy can keep us divided, he can control the city and devour those that are not saved, because we haven't put any plan in action. We haven't come together as a body, as Christ would desire us to do, to get that work done. And that's something that we're going to have to do. And I think that the prayer action is what's going to cause us to begin to break the bridge of division throughout this city.
Hello? Well, Bishop, are you there?
I'm here, but I think some kind of way we got kicked out or the time ran out, either one.
You know, yeah, Bishop, I got disconnected, but I wasn't going to let the devil win that battle. I decided to call you back.
Yeah, I called back, too. But I think what happened was we got cut off.
You know what I think, my sister? I think the time ran out.
Huh? I can't hear you now. I don't know. I can't hear you. It's like it's muzzled real bad now. It's weird. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Is Bishop still on the line or the
No, I believe that it